Blog Talk Radio.
All right, you ready to go?
Yeah.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati,
you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorton. I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. We got a great show for you today. And if you want to call and ask questions, 323-870-3857. And tonight, we're going to talk about Jaime Munguia turning down yet another title shot. More on that later, but right now, we're going to get to the big ones. ESPN Plus, Tyson Fury versus Derek Chisora for the WBC heavyweight title. Tyson Fury wins by TKO over Derek Chisora in the 10th round. Tyson Fury completely dominated this fight from start to finish. I hate to say Chisora was there for a payday, but that's kind of what it looked like. I think Chisora had enough for about three rounds in the gas tank, and then he was finished. Fury kept him on the edge of his jab all night long, man. Chisora had no answer for the movement, for the speed, nothing. Fury was landing uppercuts at will. Derek Chisora would come in. I don't know if you noticed this, Beeb. Derek Chisora would come in head first and head down. The guard, if you watch his guard, it's completely out here. So he was wide open for that uppercut all night long. I mean all night, man. The referee stopped the fight in the 10th round. And don't get me wrong, it was a good stoppage, but, you know, it wasn't, I guess he had launched off a combination, didn't answer back, and the referee came in and stopped it. That fight could have been stopped miles before it was stopped in the 10th round. That fight could have been stopped in the 6th or 7th round. I don't understand why his corner never came in. I don't understand, and his corner, they weren't even thinking about throwing in the towel or anything like that, but he got pummeled in that fight. And there was really no reason to see it go that far. Tyson just demolished him. It wasn't even close, which is what we all predicted. I mean, we all predicted Derek Chisora wasn't going to be in this fight. So there you go. Now, it should have been, you know, you're figuring, why does he fight Chisora? We know it's a stay busy fight. We get that because he wanted to fight. I'll give him that. Don't forget, he said he wanted to fight AJ. That was the fight. That was the fight to be made. That was the fight he offered. AJ turned him down. Why AJ turned him down? That's anybody's guess. He turned him down to fight who was it? Dillian White?
I'm almost positive Dillian White's going to be next.
Right, right. So I guess they wanted to get back fight for him because he ain't beating Fury either. But that would have been a much better fight than the Derek Chisora fight. Steve, what were your thoughts on this?
I thought that Tyson Fury was carrying Derek Chisora. He would land like a great combination, hit him with big right hands, and then he would just like fall into him and hold him. It's almost as if he didn't want to knock him out. He wanted to go rounds with him. He didn't want to get him out of there early. He wanted to be able to say that, oh, Derek Chisora is tough. He can hang in there. He wanted him to go out on his feet. I don't think he wanted him to go out on his back, in my opinion. So that's why I think the fight played out the way it did. Chisora just looked slower than usual. Tyson Fury, I thought, was playing with him. He was going southpaw. I mean, when does Tyson Fury go southpaw? He never goes southpaw when he wants to finish you. He'll give you a different look. But, you know, he would hurt Chisora, then he would switch to southpaw. You know, it was almost like he was just like holding Derek Chisora in there, holding him up at points. And he was trying to give his friend, a Christmas present here. Like, you know, did him a solid, so to speak. You know, got him a nice payday. That's how we do it, man. That's how we do it here. That's how we do it at Team Fury. You know what that's what we do here at Furiosity.
Furiosity.
I mean, it's the holiday season. We take care of each other, you know?
That's what we do. you know, I thought he looked great last night. And opponent aside, I mean, you could have put anybody in there last night. I think he's wiping them.
Yeah, I don't think Usyk's beating him.
No, I don't think so either. They came in. He is, number one, he's a whole lot bigger than Usyk is. You know, he looked a lot bigger. There was a big size difference between the two. He was bigger than Joe Joyce, and Joe Joyce is a big guy. You know, but Joe Joyce was more, you know, more his size, more bigger. You know what I mean? Just Usyk, you know, you keep it in perspective, man. Usyk fought Sean Porter in the amateurs. Got beat by Sean Porter in the amateurs, but he fought Sean Porter in the amateurs. I can't imagine Tyson Fury fighting Sean Porter in the amateurs. You know what I'm saying? It's just, I mean, but that's the progression of Usyk and what he's been able to do. I just think I think Tyson Fury is just going to be too big for him. And not to mention this guy can box, too. I mean, it's not like he, you know, like he can't box. Usyk's a great boxer. Well, so is Tyson Fury.
I think if Tyson Fury decides to get physical with Usyk and rough him up a little bit, I think he's going to make him feel very uncomfortable, just like Chisora made Usyk feel uncomfortable when he was kind of mauling him on the inside, roughing him up. Tyson Fury can just give you so many different looks. He can take that half step back, walk you into that right hand. Here's a big thing. There's two huge differences between Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua. Tyson Fury is an incredible counterpuncher, and he's a very capable inside fighter, not only just for his size, but just in general. He knows how to fight very well on the inside. And Usyk's more of a mid-range guy. And let's not forget, Joshua was still touching Usyk. He's still getting some good shots off, still hurting him at points in the fight, but he just couldn't sustain the work rate, and he couldn't adapt to Usyk when Usyk would make an adjustment. That's not going to be Tyson Fury. Tyson, even yesterday, how many different looks did Tyson Fury give Chisora? How many different ways was he how many different ways was he setting up his offense and landing shots yesterday? It was almost like he was practicing on Derek Chisora. And again, I don't like seeing things like that happen, what I saw yesterday. I don't like seeing guys get carried. Yeah. Because here's the thing. Sometimes that's worse. And you know this. You know, we've talked about this several times. Mm-hmm. When you let a guy hang around in there, you're just giving him that constant beating throughout the course of the 10 rounds.
It takes a toll.
Just get him out of there. Put him out of his misery. Don't sit there. And it's almost cruel. It's like a cat playing around with a wounded mouse. Just get him out of there. Put him out of his misery. Get him out.
You know, when I was watching that fight yesterday, I said a couple of things. I said, number one, I think Tyson Fury should have went to the body, he would have knocked him out. And to say he would have knocked him out earlier, because I don't think Chisora tires anyway. As long as the fight goes, he gets tired anyway. It's not like he has a huge gas tank. And if Tyson Fury, again, he's 38 years old, take that gas tank out of it, start putting the shots into the body. I think it would have been a short night for him.
Like I said, it was almost as if Tyson Fury didn't want to knock him down or knock him out clean. He wanted. To end, he wanted the fight to end the way it ended, where Derek Chisora can say, I gave it my all. I didn't give up. I didn't quit. I didn't get knocked down. And the referee stopped it. Like, you know what I mean? And that was the whole theme after the fight, how tough Derek Chisora is, how, you know, and he is. Don't get me wrong. You know, you don't get extra credit for being tough. I mean, obviously, you get paid the same. You got your seven figures. That's fine. But, you know, only time will tell the residual effect that you're going to have from that beating. Sometimes that stuff doesn't show up till years later. And again, I am not wishing any bad on Derek Chisora, but
no,
he looked bad. Like he's a shot fighter.
I'll say that. I think he's a shot fighter. I don't think he should fight again.
I've never seen him take a beating like that before.
No,
that was probably the worst. That was even worse than the Vitaly Klitschko. He was hanging in the Klitschko fight, landing good shots against Vitaly. This fight was just like a beating. Face was all smashed up, everything.
Yeah.
And even at the end of the fight, Tyson went in his dressing room.
Did you see that?
He did it.
That was amazing.
He said, "I can't even chew. My jaw is so sore right now." That's what he said, and they were trying to eat the hamburgers together.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, man, Reese Mack said it the best. I've never seen Tyson Fury look that good. I got to be honest. And you got to take into consideration it was Derek Chisora. You got to take into consideration Derek Chisora's, you know, his age and where he is in his career and everything. Like, we're not talking about a young Chisora. We're talking about the Chisora of today. All that aside, he's still a professional fighter. Derek Chisora still knows how to fight, and Derek Chisora still has enough power to knock anyone out. He does.
Yeah.
And for him to go in there and just completely whitewash him like this, I mean, Derek Chisora was not competitive. I don't care what Jerry in Baltimore says. This was not a competitive fight. You know what I mean?
I think I gave him one round, but I could have even had it a shutout if I wanted to.
What round did you give him?
I think I gave him the third.
I'm going to scorecard shame you. That was terrible.
Because like Fury was kind of like taking it off.
I couldn't give Chisora, honestly, I couldn't give him any rounds in there. And he was, you know, it was like I said, man, I looked at him at the end of the third round, and his chest is just going up and down, up. I mean, he was done. You know, it took a lot for him to stay in there as long as he did. And he deserves credit for it. I mean, the guy is a fighter. But I do think that Fury, you know, stepped off of the gas, you know, let his foot off the gas a little bit. And didn't let him back in the fight, but just let him finish as much as he could on the fight.
Yeah. Yeah.
You thought it was a good stoppage, though?
Yeah, I would have liked to have seen it. I'll be honest with you. I would have liked to have seen the corner stop it, like in maybe round 8.
His corner did him zero favors. I mean, zero favors. I really don't understand that. You guys,
and
for all those corner people out there, you're there for their protection. And for
correct.
Them not to do this, I mean, come on, man.
And did you hear what Chisora said at the end of the fight, like during the interview? He goes, I want to thank the referee for pulling me out.
I did, yes.
Yeah, so he knew he hadn't. Like, he knew he was.
And, you know, at that point, you know, around that seventh or eighth round, he hadn't won a round.
No.
You couldn't even give him a round, right?
It's not even competitive at that point.
No, you're not going to win. You're not going to knock the guy out. Like, what are you doing?
You got to pull him out.
I mean, where was his corner at last night? I think that's my biggest problem with the fight last night. Where was his corner?
Yeah, you got to pull him out.
Yeah, it's crazy. And then there was the undercard of this fight was that guy who quit against Joe Joyce. What was his name? Do you remember his name, Beam?
You know what? He watches this show. Right,
you're darn right. He watches the show,
and you know what?
You can.
He said after he got knocked down, right? That three times in that first round, goes. There's no way I'm letting that motherfucker at Ringside Reporter shit on me again. I'm getting up, and when he knocked him out in the third round, he was envisioning your face when he was pounding away.
Let me tell you
because
this.
All
good
the
luck.
Grief. All the grief you gave him these last couple of years. He wasn't having it. He wasn't giving up this time.
Now, somebody in the chat said that the fight should have been stopped in that first round because Dubois was dropped three times in that first round by Lorena. Is that indeed the WBA rule?
Well, here's the thing, man. And shout out to Rick Glaser because he's correct. You follow the commission rules. It depends where you're at. You follow the commission's rules, and the BBOC does not have a three knockdown rule, and the ABC, the Association of Boxing Commissions here, that we use, we don't have a three knockdown rule either. So who cares what the WBA says? And if you read the ruling correctly, it says after three knockdowns. The referee should stop the fight if there's three knockdowns in one round. It's not cut and dry. It's not cut and dry. And again, it's up to the commission. It's always up to the commission because each state has different sets of rules, and that's the way it is. The sanctioning body, they're not gonna trump the commission.
No,
you know what I'm saying.
No, so he was knocked down three times in the first round, Dubois was. they didn't look like, I mean, the last two knockdowns particularly didn't look like much.
Well, because he didn't have his legs.
Yeah,
his
I think he was just buzzed still. Because those knockdowns, those last two knockdowns, I think were just like he was just dazed.
It was a similar type situation when Joshua got hit in the temple with Ruiz and he just never got his legs back.
Yeah.
Well, this time, Daniel Dubois, it took him a round and a half or so to get his legs back. But those other two knockdowns, I believe, seemed to be as a result of just not having his legs back because his equilibrium was off because of the temple shot.
Yeah.
And then he was thinking to you, oh, if I don't get up this time, I got to listen to this guy again.
Well, I take full credit for Daniel Dubois' win this weekend. The fact that he had to bite down.
And he told me he wants to personally take a pie and stick it in your face again himself. That's what he wants to do.
He's more than
That's
welcome.
He told me.
He's more
That's
than
what he
welcome.
He told me. Tired of listening to you dump on him.
I am Daniel Dubois' motivation. Don't you understand that? Don't you understand? I am his motivation.
You know, his orbital bone was broken in two places. He had retinal bleeding. The eye was actually falling in the back of his head. I mean, this guy...
That's a long way from the heart,
dude. This guy could have got blind.
Well,
is that what you want? How heartless can you be?
I'm just saying.
Crying out loud, for the love of God. Where's your heart?
I left it in San Francisco. What can I say? I don't know.
Please. Show some compassion.
This is this is the number three heavyweight in the world.
Who?
Dubois.
This guy's the number three heavyweight in the world after what he did. He showed no one can get up after those three knockdowns.
Who's Kevin Lorena? You know, you and I do this all the time. We've had so many shows, hundreds of shows, okay? We follow boxing very closely. Who is Kevin Lorena?
He's a dark horse, man.
He's a dark horse? He's a dark horse. I have never heard of this guy in my life. For all I know, he was bagging groceries last week.
Whoa!
There's nothing wrong with that. What's wrong? Whoa, whoa, wait a minute. Why are you shaming him for the way he makes a living? What's wrong with that?
Please, don't demean
you
the
know
guy.
What? That's awful.
First of all.
Well, what? Something's wrong with bagging groceries?
It's a living, okay? So
right, that's what I'm saying.
Well,
so why are you knocking it?
It's the derisive tone you used when you said it. The condescension in your voice.
The condescension in your voice.
It was
You're
disgusting.
The one talking about, hey, he's bagging groceries. Why would you say that? What's wrong with that? It's a living. What's the matter with you? You know what your problem is? You're not with the common man like I am. Tell you that.
You can't talk about a guy's profession like that and that
profession. What was it?
Such a disgusting tone you use.
A disgusting tone.
Oh, he's probably bagging groceries.
Who are you?
Elon Musk, please.
I'm just saying. Notorious VC cancel Eric Lorta.
We will cancel his ass.
Is Kevin Lorena's a cruiserweight? Yeah, Notorious said he's a cruiserweight.
That's what he said.
Cancel the King of Baltimore. Oh, that's cold-blooded. They won't cancel me in Cincinnati, though. All right, they probably will. So ultimately, like I said, Daniel Dubois came back, won by TKO in the third round over Kevin Lorena. And, yeah, that's your number three heavyweight in the world. According to the belts, because you got Usyk, Tyson Fury, and then you got this guy who just kind of weasels his way into the belt picture.
You know what? I would say you'd have to put Tyson Fury number one. You'd put Usyk number two. And I'm going to be honest with you.
How do you do that, though, when he's got three belts? I mean, he's three-fourths of the championship, the unification.
Well, I think Tyson Fury, you can make the argument, is the lineal. Who's Usyk, with all due respect, beat one guy, really, one guy of note at heavyweight twice, which is great, but Tyson Fury, you know, got a whole resume at heavyweight.
I agree with you.
guy just came here.
I agree with you. I think that Tyson Fury is number one, followed by Usyk, and then, you know,
who would you put, Wilder or Joshua? That's tough, right?
I don't know. You don't know what Wilder has left. I mean,
you don't know what Joshua has left either. I mean, you could.
Yeah.
No, I guess. Oh wow, that's tough.
I don't know.
Because they're both coming off back-to-back losses, right? But then you could say Joshua didn't get beat up like Wilder did. But then again, he wasn't fighting Fury either. So. That's tough. Could we put Joyce ahead of either? We can't put Joyce ahead of either.
No, Jeff's got a good list here. Jeff Lucetta maybe Lucetia. I think it's Lucetta, I believe.
Yeah.
If I'm butchering, I apologize, Jay. Fury, Usyk, Wilder, Joyce, and AJ. That sounds. I can't really argue with it.
Can you put Joyce ahead of AJ though? Can I be honest with you? I think Joyce would beat AJ right now, if I'm being honest.
I think Joyce would beat Wilder right now. That's the fight I want to see.
Yeah.
Why aren't we working on that fight? Because Joe Joyce got in the ring last night and wanted, you know, him and Tyson Fury want to fight. He said if Usyk doesn't step up to the plate, he's going to fight him. We all think the Usyk fight can take place fairly easily. All the promoters know each other. They're all good friends.
Well, Barham said that.
Go.
That
yeah.
That's what he's going to try and make that. He's definitely working on that next.
Right.
So
there you go, man. I mean, I think that fight can happen very easily. You know, so where does that leave Joe Joyce? Nobody's calling out Joe Joyce. You know, I mean, where does that leave Joe Joyce? He's not going to fight Anthony Joshua next. Joshua's going to fight Dillian White and, you know, go on the Eddie Hearn plan. And then Wilder's not going to fight. He's going to fight Andy Ruiz next.
Well, they're saying that they want to fight Joshua next, and they're working hard. They're talking to Eddie Hearn and stuff. And,
I'm going to tell you
that's
this. If AJ didn't take Tyson Fury next for a belt, what makes you think he's going to take Deontay Wilder next?
This is what I think should happen, right? I think Wilder should fight Ruiz. Joshua should fight Dillian White. They'll both. I feel comfortable that they will both get wins in those fights. And then you got to make that fight Wilder Joshua at the end of the year, it's like September, October, November ish. You make that like they have them fight their preliminary fights or their, you know, their whatever you want to call them, have them fight those fights in the spring, and then in the fall they can fight each other. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I would like to see that. I don't know. Him fighting Dillian White is just a waste. And I think Wilder and Andy Ruiz, I don't know that that's a great, particularly great fight either.
Yeah, I'm not crazy about that fight.
I'm not throwing that fight either.
I'll watch it. I think it's intriguing, but I don't know, man. I mean, Ruiz hasn't looked good since that Joshua fight.
He really hasn't. He hasn't looked good at any point after that fight. And he's fought a few times, and he has not looked good.
I mean, he was struggling versus Luis Ortiz. He didn't look great in that fight. Ortiz was hurting him, tagging him.
And I don't know if it's, you know, I mean, he's really roughly around the same weight, wasn't he? He didn't lose a ton of weight. I mean,
yeah, he's the same.
He's just not training. He's just not training, son. I mean, that's
I don't
it.
Know, man.
And then who did AJ pick up? Didn't AJ pick up a new trainer?
Well, now they're saying that he's like working with trialing out Roy Jones Jr.
Roy Jones Jr. That's who it was.
I don't know, man. It's
and
crazy,
like but. You know, you can't like Robert Garcia was training him, right? And you can't just one off him. It takes time. You're not going to notice a difference after just one. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
After one fight, you're not going to notice a difference, especially when you haven't been with him. You've been with some other guy most of your career. You know, like come on, man.
Yeah.
Like, get it together over there. Wow. Ruiz is still the same bra size.
Please.
I'm all for making fun of people, but too far. Come on.
We don't need that. Come on.
Oh, jeez. Wow.
I'm not put the fat shaming people.
Come
please.
On, Clarissa. Do better. Where is it at? Now we got to put it up. Me too. There it is. Clarissa gets it. Clarissa gets the me too. She just got me too'd.
Oh, wow.
All right. Let's go to the DAZN fight here. Chocolatito versus Juan Francisco Estrada for the third time. Everybody knows how I feel about rematches, and this is the third. Steve, I'm not crazy about rematches. I'm not crazy about third fights either. Estrada beats Chocolatito by the scores of 114-114, majority decision, and then he got 116-112 and then 115-113.
Yeah, I had it 115-113 for Estrada, and I had it 4-2 after six. And then Chocolatito made a little bit of a run. He put his foot on the gas pedal a little bit, and he was doing some good work on the inside. But then Estrada started stepping back, started walking him into counter shots. He made the adjustment, and I gave him the 11th and 12th. I gave Chocolatito, let me double-check the card, I gave him 8, 9, and 10, and I gave him 6, 8, 9, and 10. So he went on a nice little run. He went on a nice little run in the second half of this fight. So the first six rounds, like I said, I had it 4-2 for Estrada, and then the next six, I had it 3-3 in rounds in the next six. So thought it was a razor close fight, but they're talking about a fourth fight. You know, it's like every time these guys fight, it's competitive, it's exciting, it's an exciting fight.
It's like watching the same movie over and over, though, right?
Yeah, and these rounds were hard to score sometimes. I mean, like there's some swing rounds in there. I don't see Chocolatito winning, but I could see the draw if you give him the swing rounds. Like I could see the draw if you give him swing rounds, but. You could tell he was slowing down, particularly in the first half of the fight. He was just really his reflexes really looked dulled. He just looked a step behind Estrada. You could just tell that he's losing some of his spark and his fire. He's turning the corner, man. He's like, is he going to be 36? But this is a guy that's
been turned the corner years ago.
Yeah, this is a guy that's been in some tough fights. He's gone a lot of rounds in his career, like 48, 49 fights, I think, something like that. And but it's a hard 48. He's had a rough go of it. Definitely, he's been some really really hotly contested battles where he's taken some punishment, particularly in those Rungvisai fights. I mean, and then even these fights with Estrada, you know. He was getting hit clean. His head was getting rocked back. So, yeah, I thought Estrada was landing the cleaner shots. I thought Estrada was the aggressor early on. Like I said, Chocolatito tried to make a run of it, but Estrada, you know, adapted to it as well. The thing was Estrada was beating him off the front foot, and he was beating him off the back foot, right? So when you got him coming and you got him going, then you know. It's hard to overcome that. And he was just landing so many more power shots too. You know, he's out working, he's throwing off. He was a busier guy. Chocolatito he's just not able to sustain that pace like he was. He's just definitely slowing down. The miles have caught up with him. There's no doubt about it.
I will say this. I did not see anybody score the fight for Chocolatito. I haven't seen anybody so far score the fight for Chocolatito.
No one.
Everybody scored it for Estrada, whether it was close, whether it was 8-4, whatever, everybody scored it for Estrada. Reese Mack had it 8-4 Estrada, 115-113 Estrada. I have not seen anybody even make a case that Chocolatito got robbed or won that fight or nothing. Why do we need to do this a fourth time? Or what are we going to do, a best of seven here?
Well, I mean, even after the fight, you had Sergio Morrison. We can even have a fourth fight. And then Estrada himself said that he thinks that Chocolatito deserves a fourth fight. I mean, here's the thing, Eric.
Awful.
Just because the fights are close, right? If the same guy's winning every time, like if I'm playing you in darts and, you know,
yep,
it's down the wire every game, but you keep beating me.
Right.
At some point, I got to say, you know what? Even if it's a close game, I'm still not beating you. So it is what it is.
Yeah, I don't get it, man. It's the same stuff. you know, and I like both of these guys, but there's other guys that can step in here and give us exciting fights too. By just putting the attention on these guys, put these guys against other guys, other top guys, man, and give the other guys some shine here. Give them a chance to move up, because if, you know, otherwise you're showcasing this division. These are the only guys you're really showcasing in the division, though.
Yeah.
You know, fair enough. I mean, that's what I'm
saying. Yeah, it gets stale after a while. I'm with you on this one.
Yeah. So, all right, let's go to the phones real quick. I think Robert's online here. 530,
hello.
You're live.
Hello, guys. How are you?
Good.
Hi, first of all, Joe, Roman has 55 fights, 51 wins, 4 losses with 41 knockouts.
Okay, what did I say? 50 fights? What did I say? He had 50 fights? I mean, geez. I said he had 58 fights. I said he had 58.
Yeah. Yeah, Beeb. So. Yeah,
anyway.
Beeb, why don't you check your facts before you come on here, Beeb?
Anyway.
This is why we had to get rid of him, because he's just too much of a ball player.
And I agree with you guys. I love both guys, but, you know, I don't want to see them fight each other. And honestly, it looks like Roman is about to lose to Father Time with the way he looked last night. And I hate to say that, because I love watching the guy fight.
Like, you're losing to Father Time, too.
But, you know, well, hell, of course we're all losing to Father Time, Joe, but we're not in the ring either.
You lost to Father Time about 6 years ago.
Hell, it's been longer than that, Joe. Anyway.
Get that Cialis.
Don't start with that crap. I don't. If I'm Chocolatito, I think very seriously whether I want to continue, because he got off to such a slow start last night. I can imagine him in the ring with somebody like Bam Rodriguez, and you know, if Bam was in the ring with him, he would have taken full advantage of him getting off to such a slow start. I don't know if I want to see him continue, honestly.
Wow, you just retired him, son.
No, I'm not going to retire him, because he doesn't deserve that. I want him to decide that on his own. But, and Estrada, he looked very good last night. His last fight, he looked terrible because he wasn't up for the opponent. But this fight, he looked good, and I want to see what he does going forward. As far as the heavyweight mess, I didn't want to see that yesterday either. You know, that fight should have ended as soon as possible. Derek Chisora's corner should be fired on the spot. You're in there to protect your fighter.
You have to be so dramatic.
Yeah.
I think you're going to fire them now, Robbie. Come on.
Yeah,
bro.
You got. Yeah. You
enough.
And
enough with
has,
the false outrage, Robbie. Come on.
He has to retire, and that corner's got to be reprimanded for the way they treat their fighters. Come on.
Oh, they got to put him in the corner? I mean, come on. You give him a timeout?
Give me a break.
Come on. Take it easy here. You go over the top sometimes with this analysis. Please.
Well, for God's sake, they don't deserve to get paid. They should have pulled him out several rounds ago.
Now you're trying to take a living away from him. Oh, man.
They did a full training camp with the guy. Now you want to withhold funds?
Training camp is one thing, but when your fighter's getting the crap beat out of him, you know, you got to know when it's time to pull the damn plug. Give me a break.
What do you want to do? You want to fire the referee too? Because he kept letting the fight go.
I'll tell you what. I think the referee is to blame as well.
Why don't you fire everybody? Fire the guy who was freaking selling the peanuts in the sixth row, for Christ's sake.
Like Donald Trump all of a sudden, firing everybody. Look at you.
Yeah. Spare no expense. Get rid of everybody.
Get rid of Spence.
Come on, Eric.
Spare no expense. Get rid of everybody.
Come on, Eric. You even said it
Christ
yourself.
Sake.
That corner was a disaster. You're going to disagree with
I
me
I say
now?
A lot of stuff, Robert. Of course.
Yeah.
You know how I am. I go back on everything I say.
But you
of course,
fire you. People, Robbie. You want to cancel people. That's what's wrong with this world today. People
who just want to get rid of everybody, you have
one disagreement with somebody, and automatically you want to throw them in the trash bin.
That
what
was
are
a
you
terrible,
to do
that
something
was, that
like
was a
that,
terrible disgrace on how to treat your fighter yesterday. Come on. Get out of here with
that's
that.
That's not nice.
Come on, Robbie.
That's not nice.
Please.
Give me a break.
He wasn't complaining about his corner. Why should you?
I don't know.
Vince McMahon's voice, you're fired.
No. But no, that's how I feel. That was terrible to watch yesterday, and Fury is going to be the undisputed champion, and you know, at least we'll have an undisputed champion, and that'll be a good thing. We haven't had one since.
Why you don't give Usyk any shot at all?
I give him a shot, Eric, but like you said, the size difference is tremendous. And, yeah, he could deal with a 6'7" Joshua, but I'd like to see how he deals with a 6'9", 270-pound Fury.
So you're going to back down like that just because he challenged you and you say you're not going to give him a shot? I'm not giving him a shot. I think Tyson Fury's going to stop him. Why don't you hold your ground? Be a man, for Christ's sake. Don't let this guy manipulate you.
Oh,
don't let this guy bully you.
He's on a roll again today, Eric, isn't he?
Don't let this guy... don't let this guy muscle you around.
Well, you're the leader of the Fury fan club.
That's my job. Don't let him do it.
What do I expect? But no, I don't.
I'm the one that throws you around like a beanbag around here. Not him.
If anybody's going to knock out Usyk, it will be Fury. But because I haven't even seen Alexander Usyk seriously hurt. So, and if anybody can do it, it will be Fury.
Joshua rocked him a few times. But come on, man.
I thought he was
in trouble in that Chisora fight. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
Looked uncomfortable.
Very uncomfortable in that Chisora fight.
Got knocked down with body shots before. Come on, Robbie. You got to go back and do some research.
Derek makes it uncomfortable for a lot of people, you know. I mean, because all the heavyweights.
You make an uncomfortable process every week when you call in, but.
Oh, give me a break. You're on a roll like there's no tomorrow. Every week, I don't know what's going on with you, brother. So, anyway, guys.
You can't do me now too. I can't talk.
No. Joe, I got you on this show, so why would I want to cancel you?
Oh, you got me on this show. Oh. Oh, you want to go there?
Wow.
You want to go there?
Yeah,
well,
I got
who's,
hey.
Who's still on the roster? Who's still on the roster?
Hey, remember, I had to convince Eric that you would be a good guy. Come on, give me a break.
You want to go there? I've actually been on more shows than you have.
Oh, I know you have.
It's getting ugly in here, boys. It's getting ugly in here.
And I brought you on YouTube. How's that?
Yeah, right. Okay, Eric, that's all I got for this week.
All right, Robbie. All right, we'll talk to you soon, man. All right.
Good riddance.
Good riddance. You got him on the roster. He's got you on the roster.
He wants to pump his chest out here like he's something.
760, you're live.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? This is Brian. What's up with you?
What's up, man?
Brian, Brian, remember the conversation we had the other day about friends fighting?
Which one?
Well, about friends fighting. Well, Fury carried him yesterday. He was carrying him.
Right. Yeah. Hey, Beeb, you know what? Hey, you got a birthday coming up. You got a birthday coming up next week. Happy birthday. Happy
December 9th.
Birthday.
That's right. Thank you so much. I'm glad someone cares about my birthday.
Yeah.
You getting ready to turn what, 60? You turning 60?
Yep. He's 60 years old next week.
Nah, you 30.
I got the honey dip lined up. I rented out a room at the squad and I'm ready to go.
He put his $85 down for his massage already.
Hey,
hit them all, Foxy Lady, Cheetahs.
Hey, why was you
Cheetahs? Squire,
hey,
Golden Banana. I'm making the rounds next week, Daddy.
Hey, B, why was you giving it to Rob like that, man? I feel bad for that dude, man. That's cold.
Don't feel bad, man. He's a sadistic He's a sadistic little man.
Giving it to him.
Bebe got Darth Vader. I am your father.
Hey, that little argument that you guys going back and forth, next time you might can charge pay-per-view for that shit. You know what I'm saying?
Please.
But
guy's not even on my light.
Hey, so
my light work. I didn't even unleash the good stuff on that guy. On that guy.
Hey,
so
geez,
Brian, how do you?
It's
weird that you keep tabs on Beeb's birthday like that, man. Are you gonna send him some clothes and stuff, or what are you gonna do?
Nah, not this year, man. Not this year. You know, I'll be sending.
He's
him
coming down. Are you just gonna take him out to dinner and stuff?
He's coming. He's coming down this month, Derek. Truck driving. This is one of his routes. He's coming down, man.
Okay.
Yeah, I usually send.
He's gonna come down. He's gonna check in. He's gotta check in, man.
Yeah,
I hear it.
I usually send Beeb them type of
theory. I put the word out, man. Let everyone know he's coming down.
Yeah.
Hey, Eric.
He's coming down, huh?
Eric, I got.
Is he staying with you, or where is he staying at?
Oh, he's doing a truck driving job.
Like I'm just supposed to know. You gotta stay somewhere.
I meet up with him, buy him a lunch or something, get him a couple honey dips. You know
Eric,
what it is. I got to square him away.
Yes.
Eric, why, man, look. Eric, stop. Stop, man. Just stop. Look. Be like Tyson Fury t-shirt. Okay? T-shirt because he loves Tyson Fury. He loves him some Tyson Fury. So I send him a t-shirt. That's it.
Right, yeah.
But
why are you guys, so sensitive when
sleeves.
I say this stuff?
Look at the sleeve. Look at the W. Look at this.
I don't understand why you guys are so sensitive when I bring this stuff up.
Look at this.
Both of you guys.
No.
Look at this.
Both of you guys. Listen to me a minute, Beef.
Trust me.
Both of you guys.
Hey, Eric.
Those are nice shirts. Who got that for you? Who showed you where to get that? Huh?
Me. Fury sent this to me.
Fury sent that to you. Anyway, look, man, you guys are way too sensitive when I talk about, you know, you guys sleeping over each other's houses and stuff like that. That doesn't mean anything. Listen, man, you guys do what you want. It's a free country. Look,
Eric,
it doesn't impact me at all.
Eric, who's your favorite fighter, man? Who's your favorite fighter? I'll send you a T-shirt this year for Christmas. Who's your favorite fighter right now, currently?
Who is my favorite fighter? I don't know, man.
Who is your favorite fighter?
Maybe Canelo, I guess. Canelo probably my favorite fighter. Who's your favorite? You got Tyson Fury.
You
know, one of those Tyson Fury guy.
You want me to get one of those T-shirts?
Send me one so I don't feel left out. That's what it is.
You know what this all stems from?
What does it stem
from?
This
is just envy of Eric because he doesn't get anything ever sent to him.
Correct. You're absolutely right.
This is psychology 101. He's lashing out.
Right. I don't have this kind
he's
of relationship with
out.
Men. You're right, Beeb. I don't.
He doesn't get anything.
I got you, Eric.
I don't have this.
He doesn't even get Dunkin' Donuts.
I get jealous. When I find out you guys have sleepovers and stuff, I get jealous. You know what I mean? I'm like, man, I wish I could hang out with those guys, maybe minus the sleepovers and stuff. And then you guys try on clothes with each other and stuff like that.
Wait a minute. Hold on.
Maybe I'm out.
Hey, Eric, don't Rob live with you in your basement? You be having him on automatic standby. You got Rob down there. Why are you tripping, homie?
You got Robbie on the futon down
like,
the cellar.
He's actually in the storage part of the basement. The rest of the basement's kind of open.
He's got Robbie on the futon with a hard plate in the cellar.
he be trying to play it off. He be like, hey, Rob, pick up real quick. I'm telling them you on the line, Rob, downstairs.
Pick up real quick.
You got Robbie making grilled cheeses with the iron on the hot plate.
He's got the radiator grilled cheese. Radiator grilled cheese.
See if Robbie is down there watching the Raider game and tell him let me know the score real quick.
Well, we can't because there's only the Bengals game on in this house, son.
Only the Bengals game on in this house, son. That's why he might be he's watching it in the stores. He's solo. Ask him to score.
He's watching it solo.
Hey, but B, man, your boy Tyson Fury. You know I'm a Wilder fan, okay? Tyson Fury he's the shit, okay? This dude is the shit, all right? I'm with you. You know what it is? I think it's his style. You know how he didn't used to impose himself the way he does now. You know, like, that style he got, man, I like it. I like it, man. And, you know, let me ask you, where would you rank Tyson Fury in, well, I know where you're going to put him at. I ain't even going to ask you, B. Eric, where would you rank Tyson Fury in all time?
All time?
Yeah. Let's say you line him up. Let's say you got like a
It's tough.
Right?
He's got to wind it up. He's got to wind it up. Let's let his career end first before we start putting his place in history. Because,
I mean,
who knows
right
where
now,
he goes?
No. I'm saying no. Right now, would you at least put him? Because me, I have a hard time putting him in the top five, but.
He's definitely in the top 10.
He kind of squeezes. Yeah, he squeezes in there in that top 10, and that's why I'm like, you feel the same way like me. This dude is pretty legit. I don't give a damn what they say about his resume. I know they talk shit about it, but he's good, man. You can just look at him and tell he's fucking good. He's just good. Even Wilder losing to him, there's nothing wrong with Wilder losing
Sylvester
to this
Stallone
guy.
Said he was the
good.
Best of all time. Did you hear what Sylvester Stallone said about him? He said he's the best heavyweight of all time.
He got beat by Clubber Lang.
Man, I'm not listening to no Sylvester Stallone on that. Come on, man.
He's in the Hall of Fame. The guy got clout. He's in the Hall of Fame. He's in the Hall of Fame.
Arturo Gatti. Arturo Gatti doesn't belong there either.
He went to Russia. He went to Russia and beat Ivan Drago, man.
Look, man, that shit was real.
Okay, well, first off,
movie,
Drago was overtrained.
Real.
Number one, Drago was overtrained. Drago was also on steroids, which will deplete your stamina as well.
He was juiced to the gills. He was juiced to the gills.
Yeah, exactly.
But he's not real, B. I'm sorry to say
that. But.
All right, Brian, we're going to get running, my man. Lee Grove says, two different questions, head-to-head. Fury is a headache for anybody, but resume-wise, he probably wouldn't fare nearly as well, maybe in the second 10. I agree. I agree with him. He said, resume-wise, you know, listen, man, nobody's going to give him credit for that fight he did last night. That's for sure.
Yeah, no one can beat Ali's resume at heavyweight, in my opinion. Ali had
He fought everybody.
Different generations, too. Everything.
Yeah. He was... I don't think, I mean, you know, you look at, like, Muhammad Ali prior to the draft, I think was a better Muhammad Ali than after the draft. But I don't think anybody could have beat that Muhammad Ali before the draft. That guy.
Except for TF, of course. TF would beat him. But other than that, probably not. 6'9", when you're 6'9", you're moving around the ring like a gazelle. You're hitting people.
He did
like,
look good yesterday, man. I can't even lie about that.
You're hitting people with jackhammers. You're ragdolling people. This guy even fights in the WWE, man. He crossed over, man. He could do it all.
He knocked out Braun Strowman. That's a pretty big pretty big thing here. Drago lifted his manager up with one arm. Jay-Z, if he dies, he dies. That had to be the best line ever. Best line ever. All right, let's talk about upcoming fights this week. See if they get this first down here. I hate when the Bengals are playing at 4:30 because I never get I never get to watch the game fully. You know, and I've got it on in here and I'm like, you know, kind of going back and forth on it, but you never get to watch the game fully. This is like a big game. First down, baby. All right. Let's go to the fights. Schedule June 10th, December 10th. Eve, pay attention. December 10th, ESPN Plus, New York. This is their Heisman show. On the undercard, co-main event, Teofimo Lopez versus Sandor Martin, 12 rounds, junior welterweights. Xander Zayas versus Alex Salazar, 8 rounds, junior middleweights. Keyshawn Davis versus Juan Carlos Burgos, 6 rounds, lightweights. This card is money from top to bottom. This is a good card right here. This is a really good card. And the main event, of course, for that card on December 10th in New York, the Heisman, This is the Heisman show. Jared Big Baby Anderson from Ohio versus Jerry Forrest. That will be the main event, 10 rounds heavyweights. What's so funny?
I thought my throat. Okay.
No, yeah, don't worry about that. We know I love the way Bob Arum treats Ohio fighters. He always puts them on the main events, which is great. You know, that's what I like. But, hey, Teofimo Lopez, Sandor Martin, is this going to be competitive, Beeb?
You know, I think it is. A lot of people don't. I think it is. I think it's going to be very competitive. I think Sandor Martin's crafty. You know, I just think that Teofimo Lopez that I saw in his last fight throwing one punch at a time just looked like the same Teofimo Lopez, the same performance carried over from that from the Kambosos fight, man. I just don't think that the guy's got his head right. I don't think he's settled down. I don't think he's all the way back yet. I think there's still a lot of demons inside, and I don't like the fact he's training with his dad. He's talking about all these other guys, and I wouldn't be surprised if he has another lackluster performance like he had similar to that Nakatani fight when he fought Nakatani and he was off in that fight. Whoa. And even in his last fight, I don't think he looked great in his last fight.
It's hard to say. And you know what? I mean, he looked good. Don't get me wrong. And I think we both said the same thing, but there was definitely something missing. I can't really put my finger on it. Maybe he wasn't as explosive. Maybe we were just expecting more from him. I don't know.
One punch at a time. He's like,
he won
shots, looked off balance.
You know, but he won every round there. I mean, he really did. That fight wasn't that close. It wasn't competitive. He won every round there.
He was in there with such a lower level guy. Like, he just doesn't look like that Teo that we saw against Lomachenko. He looks more like, here's the thing. And I say this all the time. I wasn't envisioning him in there with the guy he was fighting that night. I was looking at how he was fighting, and I was envisioning him in there other guys. Now, yesterday, you can say Chisora wasn't the greatest fighter in the world, wasn't the best opponent for Fury. But the way Fury fought last night, right, I said to myself, if he no one can beat him. Now, when I'm watching Teofimo fight and looking at him fighting the same way he fought Kambosos, right? And I'm saying to myself, can he fight like that and beat Haney, right? Can he fight like that and beat Josh Taylor? Can he fight like that and beat Regis Prograis? Can he fight like that and beat other guys at 140, like Jack Catterall? No, I don't think he can. Well, people, how do you know he's going to fight like that if he fights those guys? Well, he fought like that against Kambosos, and he fought like that again in his last fight. So I'm starting to see a pattern. I'm starting to see a pattern of behavior. So maybe he will. You know, maybe he will.
I need to see him some more, you know, because like I said, I don't think he's been the same since I lost. And I know people hate when I say that, and I know people hate when we talk about that. But the fact is, like I said, both of us noticed, you know, watched the fight separately, and both of us came to the same conclusion that he's missing something that he had before, that he doesn't have. Incidentally, Lee Grove says Teofimo should win, but his life outside the ring is not in order. His performance tends to suffer. If life is good, Teofimo wins. If not, Martin is the type of fighter who can exploit that. Very good. Lee Groves, if you're listening right now, we'd like to have you on the panel next week. If you can make it, let me know. If not, that's okay, too. If not, I'll text you after this, too. So, but, yeah, we'd like to have you on next week before I forget. Let's see here. So that's the ESPN Plus card. A lot of good stuff there. And then Jared Anderson washes Jerry Forrest in that fight. That's a showcase fight. December 10th, also on Saturday, ESPN Plus. Michael Conlon versus Kareem Guerfari. I don't know. Listen, Kareem somebody. I know we've seen him before, too. 10 rounds featherweights, and that's really the only good one on that card there. And he's fighting in Northern Ireland. And also, too, the big one, December 10th, Omaha, Nebraska. Pay-per-view, Terrence Crawford versus David Avanesian. 12 rounds for Crawford's WBO welterweight title. This is the undercard for that pay-per-view. How much is that pay-per-view, by the way, Beeb?
I think it's $60.
$60. $60. The co-main, Arnold K. Guy versus Eduardo Baez, 10-round featherweights. Chris Cyborg from MMA fame versus Gabby Holloway, 4 rounds women's junior middleweights. Steve Nelson versus James Ballard, 8 rounds light heavyweights. Are you serious?
Yeah, it's not a great thing.
Are you serious, man? That's a pay-per-view. You guys ought to be ashamed.
And supposedly Terrence Crawford is getting $10 million for the fight. And according to Frank Warren, Avanesian's getting 7 figures as well. So, like I said before, and like I've been saying, you know, these guys are – and I'm not saying this is a horrible fight for Crawford. Don't get me wrong. I mean, he has to fight somebody to keep busy. But these guys have been incentivized to not fight the top guys. Like, so when Crawford says things like, yeah, you know, I don't need to fight Spence to solidify and you know, cement my legacy. Well, he's probably saying to himself that, you know, What does my legacy mean if I'm making $10 million? Who gives a shit? Oh, thank you, Nacho. I thought it was are you sure it's 40? I thought it was 60.
It's still too much. I don't care if it's $5. Yeah. It's still too much.
I thought I saw it was 60, but if it's 40, then I stand corrected. I could have sworn I saw 60, but.
On the zone on December 10th, Josh Warrington versus Luis Alberto Lopez, 12 rounds for Warrington's IBF featherweight title. Ebony Bridges on that undercard versus Shannon O'Connell, 10 rounds for Bridges' IBF bantamweight title. The fact that Ebony Bridges holds a bantamweight title, an IBF bantamweight, tells you everything you need to know about the women's division.
Yeah, Nacho's correct. It's $39.99. Thank you, Nacho.
Yeah, it's $39.99 too much. And then the following Tuesday, I think it's the following Tuesday or Wednesday, is Naoya Inoue versus Paul Butler, and that's one of those weekday fights that we like. So there you go. That is what's happening. That's who's fighting. So, yeah, man, we'll check it out and see what's up. What fight are you looking forward to? I'm looking forward to the Teofimo fight most. Crawford Avanesian is going to be a wash. Everybody knows that. The Michael Conlon fight's got one good fight on there. That Crawford Avanesian fight, the fact that it's $40, I don't care if it's 40, I don't care if it's 20, it's
yeah,
way too much money.
Yeah.
That is
still too
awful.
Much.
I mean, completely so, awful.
I guess that Teo fight is kind of intriguing, isn't it? Because here's the thing, too. Whenever there's an opponent change, that kind of throws people off, too. And Teo's the type of guy where I could see something like that throwing him off. Sandow Martin's got nothing to lose. He doesn't care. You know, he wasn't really training for anyone anyway, so it wasn't like he has to. So when you're training for someone and you're working on a game plan for one particular person, you almost have to, you know, forget everything you did in camp and then start over. Whereas if you didn't have a fight and you're just starting off fresh, then that's even, you know, you don't have to recondition your brain to get ready for, you know, unlearn the other style that you were working on and just recalibrate yourself, then you can just start from scratch right away. Where Teofimo Lopez has got to kind of rethink things a little bit here. He's going to be fighting a southpaw as well, so this is going to be a different – this is going to be an interesting fight, in my opinion. Some people disagree. Some people think it's going to be a blowout. He's going to knock him out easy. We'll see. To answer your question, yeah, this is probably the best fight out of the bunch. You know,
it's a good card. That's a great card too.
Yeah, it's not a bad card at all. And the good thing about it is you're not really paying for it. So,
yeah. Reese Mack says Chris Cyborg is going to be on the Crawford undercard. Yeah, she is. She's been fighting Gabby Holloway. You know, Holloway or what? I don't know. It doesn't matter. Who cares? News and rumors this week. This one got me. It was like, what in the world? Jaime Munguia turns down a title shot against Alim Kanouli. WBO title shot. From what I've said, this is the second one he's turned down. Steve, what's going on with this guy? He's had like 40-some-odd fights. Are you going to step him up in the competition anytime soon? Oscar De La Hoya put out a tweet yesterday, says, who would you like to see Jaime Munguia fight next? How about somebody breathing? How about a live opponent? How about somebody with a pulse? You know, anybody. They're talking about he wants to fight Charlo. You're not getting that fight. I don't know I don't know how else to put it to you, man. You are not getting that fight. That fight will not happen for you. Those two promoters are not going to come together. They're just not. It is what it is.
You know, all these guys want to fight Golovkin next. Be careful what you wish for. And everyone thinks Golovkin's done just because how he looks against Canelo. Well, let me ask you this. Is he done when he's fighting these guys? Because these guys aren't Canelo.
I don't know. Wait,
Munguia and Canelo, right? Can you comfortably say you think Munguia will win that fight?
No.
I don't think so.
No, I can't.
Yeah, as you like the point you were just about to make, we thought Murata could beat him, right?
Yeah, Murata. Yeah, we thought Murata was going to roll over him, and that didn't happen.
And he got off to a good start. He hurt him, and it looked like maybe he could get him out of there.
Right.
Maybe he could win this fight. And then what did Golovkin do? He turned it around and knocked him out.
Yeah, you know, happened. And somebody in the chat said, Luis Reyes said they're waiting for a vacant. Like, come on, man. Is this guy going to, again, man, you're either going to fight or you're not going to fight.
Yeah, it's
Are you content with just getting your record to, like, what, 80-90-0 without having a title? I mean, what are you trying to do here?
And Chris Eubank Jr., he's another guy, man, that he's making seven figures fighting guys like Liam Smith.
But, you know, these
guys are being incentivized. And no disrespect to Liam Smith, but he's not a middleweight. You know what I mean? So these guys are being incentivized to not take tough fights. So do we blame them or do we blame the people who are paying them?
Yeah.
You know, that's what you gotta
ask. Listen, I honestly think Munguia would fight anybody. I think Crawford and Spence would fight anybody. I think all of these fighters would fight anybody. It's the guys in the back, the guys with the pens that are stopping these from happening. You know? It just, you know, that's the way it is. So this is a crazy one. Remember Carlos Padilla?
Yes.
He claims that he helped Pacquiao win back in a fight in like 2000 or something like that, early in his career. He said that he cheated basically for a 2000 opponent. So he said the fight was in the Philippines. Padilla and Pacquiao are both, of course, Philippine. He gave Pacquiao an extra long count after his opponent knocked him down in the fourth round. And Pacquiao eventually got a 10th round TKO win. But, Carlos admitted that he gave him a long count.
Not only that, Eric, the headbutt that was caused on Pacquiao's opponent was from a headbutt. And Padilla ruled it was from a punch. And he said he knew it was from a headbutt, but he ruled it was from a punch. And he actually urged the referee, kind of gave him a wink-wink to stop the fight.
Yeah.
You know, so it ended up being Pacquiao by TKO because he admitted that he incorrectly called the cut being caused by a punch instead of the headbutt, which really was. So there's a lot of things he did going, you know, a lot of crazy stuff going on in that whole fight that he was doing to ensure Pacquiao would get the victory there. And here's the thing, if you've really watched the fight, I'm not even sure Pacquiao needed his help. I mean, I mean, his opponent was having some good moments. Hussein was having some good moments in there, but I still think Pacquiao was winning the fight. He could have won the fight without Padilla's help, my opinion. So
yeah, and I mean, you know, and Padilla's long retired and everything like that. I mean, we talk about it all the time. Like, you know, we talk about fixed fights and everything like that. But I never think the fighter really takes a dive because how much money really could be in it for him? You know, there's more money in it if you beat the guy versus if you don't. But referees and judges, I believe, can be paid because they're not making nearly as much as these guys, you know. They're not making anywhere close to that. So I think if you're talking about, like, you know, crazy fights or, you know, weird scoring, I think that's where it comes in more so than fighters taking dives and everything like that. I don't think that happens as much. I don't. know that it happens too much anymore, you know. But I wouldn't.
I think it happens a lot anymore. I don't think it happens a lot anymore.
Yeah, I think it happens. I think it's more. You're more apt to have the judge as a referee paid, you know. And Nacho said his daughter came out and tried to do damage control or whatever by saying he was misquoted. You got the video, son. You got the video.
That's predictable. Yeah. That's what always happens at the end, right? We'll try soon.
Did you see the Canelo and Messi thing?
Yeah.
Lionel Messi and is like one of the best soccer players in the world. Him and Ronaldo, I guess. Best soccer players in the world. And Argentina played Mexico. Argentina beat Mexico. And I guess they were celebrating in the locker room, and there was a Mexican jersey on the floor. And I guess it looked like, you know, I saw the video. I don't know what the fuss was about. It looked like he just moved his feet, and it hit the jersey. You know,
that's all it was, right? It was inadvertent.
Canelo apparently took offense to that. And
yeah.
he said he better not catch Messi out there. He's, you know, he wants to hurt Messi if he sees him, blah, blah, blah. Luckily, cooler heads prevailed. Canelo took a look at the video again, and, you know, when he was settled down, and said that he definitely made a mistake and all that other good stuff. But
he apologized.
Yeah. I mean, you have to. I mean, because it wasn't like, you know, you look at it, it wasn't, surely wasn't intentional, put it that way.
Yeah, it didn't look like that big of a deal. To me, anyways.
Yeah. Regis Prograis went to social media this week and posted that the check from his fight on that pay-per-view bounced. Beeb, give it to us.
So apparently the promoter of the show had an account that he didn't use very often. It was fairly new, and he didn't use it very often. And the bank didn't see much activity on that account. So then when they all of a sudden see like $1.2 million being drawn from that account, they were like, oh, well, let's, you know, we're going to investigate this. So they put a hold on the funds. And when Regis Prograis went to cash the check, the funds were not immediately available to him. Apparently, it got worked out. They released the funds, and Regis Prograis did ultimately get paid. But the bank was Wells Fargo, and Wells Fargo, I'm just going to say it, people may not like it. They're one of the – if you listen to reviews online, listen to reviews on YouTube, they're probably one of the worst banks in the country. They're horrible. They charge you a fee for everything. You go into the branch, and you ask to use the bathroom, and you go home, they'll put a fee on your freaking checking account called bathroom fee. They charge fees for everything. They're the worst bank ever, right? So it's not a surprise to me that Wells Fargo would do something like that.
Well, now Wells Fargo is going to pull the sponsorship from this program. Thank you, Beeb.
I use CIT Bank right now, baby. I'm getting almost 4% on my high yield.
Sponsor, Beeb.
I'm getting 4%, man. You know, whoever pays me.
4%.
Right? Whoever pays me, that's where I go. I'm getting like almost 4% right now, baby.
You're pathetic. Just pathetic.
That's where I'm putting my liquid assets right now.
Liquid. Real quick, 805, you're live.
Hey, guys, what's up?
Jesus Christ, that was like a delayed reaction. That's like getting hit in the liver shot. You're like walking around the ring for 5 minutes, then falling down afterwards. Come on.
Delayed reaction, it's you trying to say that the pay-per-view was $60, and I had to correct you.
I got an excuse.
So, to correct you.
I'm 53 on, years
Beeb.
Old. I've
Come
lived
on.
More years than I got left.
Just admit
I'm getting up there
just
in age.
I am going to stumble.
I am going to stumble every now and then. I'm 53 years old. You're in your prime still. How old are you, 30?
No, I'm 40.
You're still in your prime. You're in your prime.
Come on,
when I was 40,
Come on.
I, you know, I could do a lot of things I can't do now. So I'm just letting you know, you're in your prime still.
All right. Well, just real quick, guys, I just wanted to touch on a couple of things. Yeah, you guys brought up that whole thing with Padilla. You know, he gave this whole long interview about it, and then they talked to Hussein and people in his camp when that fight happened, and Hussein was pissed off. Hussein said that if he had ended up beating Pacquiao, he would have been the one who got a life-changing payday instead of Manny, and he was pretty bitter about the whole situation with Padilla kind of bragging about how he helped Pacquiao win that fight. And then after his response came out, then the daughter came out in the media and tried to say, oh, no, my dad doesn't know what he's saying. He's 88 years old. He doesn't really speak English all that well. They misquoted what he said, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, it's just a mess, but it's just a bad look.
That was
Padilla
nonsense.
Didn't need
yeah.
to.
It's a
yeah, Padilla didn't
look.
Need to do that. Yeah, he didn't need to do that. Like, he should have just left it alone. Why try to get attention for something that happened like 20 plus years ago? Like, it's over and done with. That made no sense. That was just a bad look. As far as the fights this weekend, thought that Estrada hung on to win that fight. I know some people think Chocolatito ended up winning the fight. I gave it to Estrada. I had him winning 15-13. I felt like if it wasn't for him winning that last round, I think it would have been a draw, or they could have given it to Choco. So it was that close of a fight. I'm a little surprised that in the post-fight interview, Choco said that he was thinking about maybe not fighting anymore. He said he had to talk to his family. If he does go out, he has nothing to be ashamed about. He's had a hell of a career. It would be interesting to see him continue. But at the same time, though, if he decides to walk away, I don't think people should be mad at him for walking away. He's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer when the time comes anyway. So it was a great performance by both guys. Estrada, I think he could take on that next group of guys, like, you know, the winner of Ioka and Franco, when that happens at the end of this month. Maybe he gets that one of those guys. Or he can take on some of the other contenders in the division. But, you know, I think he's got a couple more fights in him left, too, before he's done, because he's getting up there as well. So he doesn't have much time left before I think he's going to have to retire as well. And then with Fury, Chisora, that was just an unbelievably ridiculous sparring session for Fury. He just teed off on Chisora. I mean, I'm glad Chisora got his $4 million from what's being reported. I hope he takes his $4 million and rides off into the sunset, because that guy's done. He doesn't have anything left. He's just a punching bag at this point. And last night proved it. His reflexes are pretty much gone. You know, he's just out there just, you know, trying to swing away wildly, but he don't really have much left. I really hope that they convince him that he needs to be done, too. It was interesting to see both Joyce and Usyk pop up in the ring after the fight and try to get Fury, you know, to fight them or whatever. Ideally, and I think Fury even admitted it, I think he would rather face Usyk than face Joyce, because he figures that Joyce would be the rougher, you know, the bigger, stronger guy, and it'd be, in his mind, it'd be more physically challenging to fight Joyce instead of Usyk. But I really found it interesting how Fury kept yelling at him, and Usyk was not shaken one bit. He just stood there and just kind of gave him this crazy look. And I think Usyk's ready for that fight. I wouldn't be surprised if they don't fight Usyk next. I wouldn't be surprised if Fury tries to fight Joyce to try to make another fight in the UK. But, I mean, I hope they do eventually make the Usyk fight, because, you know, we want to see Undisputed. We don't want him to just kind of keep biding time and holding on to that belt. Let's have Undisputed happen sooner rather than later. And then just the last thing I wanted to bring up, you guys brought up Sandor Martin and Teo. I think that's an interesting fight. Like Beeb said, I think if Teo isn't prepared for that fight, he could definitely lose that fight. And based on like what Beeb said, his last performance, he was not great. He was good enough to beat Campa, but he's going to have to be a hell of a lot better if he's going to beat Martin, because Martin's pretty much got nothing to lose, and if he beats Teo, that just adds another feather to his cap. I mean, he already beat Mikey Garcia, so if he ends up being Teo, then he legitimately becomes a player at 140 right away. So I really hope that Tio and his father aren't completely overlooking this dude and thinking they're just going to walk in there and beat him, not based off what we saw against Campa. If that Tio shows up, I think Sandor has a legitimate shot to beat him. So, all right, guys. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, Nacho.
All right.
Drink an espresso next time you come on.
It is 1st and 10, Bengals leading here. Oh, I'm going to wind this up, man. I got to watch this guy. I got to finish watching this game, man. I'm sorry, guys. That's it's just the only way it is what it is. That's right. All right. Listen, that'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, catch Joe Habib on Twitter at jhabib1 and find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com. You can find me on Twitter at ringside73, and we will see you next week.
Take care, guys.